Lord God, thanks for Christmas, that it gives us a kind of special time to focus on all the things that Jesus brings and all the things that Jesus is. So Lord Jesus, keep changing our minds so we think about you as you are, not as we make up. And will you give us joy and hope and meaning because of that? And we pray that in all these things, great glory would go to you. Amen. Well, anyone who has kind of had kids, I mean, I've got kids, I think they're here somewhere, three of them, and at some point they ask that question that makes parents very uncomfortable, and the question is something like, where did I come from? Now, when my kids ask that question, my answer is probably, well, two of you are from Brisbane and one of you was born in Dolby. You know, we might go a little bit further than that. You come from mummy's tummy, and that's kind of where we're up to. I don't know if you've been asked that, or probably when you were a kid, you asked something like that yourself. Where did I come from? And it's interesting, you know, culturally, in the last kind of 100 years, we've been stuck in this conversation about where we came from as humans, about how did we get here? It's been an ongoing conversation that was kind of brought on by the theory of evolution being put out there. And so it's very hard to go by a week without that question of how did I get here coming up. There are TV documentaries about the latest dinosaurs and about whales evolving or all that kind of thing. It's in the news. We're taught about it at school. We're shown it in documentaries. And the question at the top of it all is, where did I come from? Or more precisely, how did I get here? In the middle of all this, though, something is missing. You know, when you grow up, you get to a certain age where you stop asking, where did I come from? I don't FaceTime my mum anymore and say, hey, mum, where did I come from? At some point, you kind of move on from that question because what's more important and what is often missing is not where did I come from, but why am I here? What's the meaning? What's the purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? And as we head towards Christmas this year, we're taking a look at some of the things that are missing in our life that the Lord Jesus and Christmas kind of fill in for us. And this morning we're looking at the question of what is our purpose? What is our meaning? And a really good place to start to get a grip on that is the start of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, the first thing we find out really in Genesis chapter 1 is that God creates. God is just there. God appears. He's not defended. He's not explained. He's just there and God creates. This word creates, the Hebrew word is bara. It happens 43 times in the Bible and it's only ever used of God. God is the only one who makes something out of nothing. There are other people who build, there are other people who mold, who nail things up, who turn something into something. But God is the only one who creates, and he creates everything. The shorthand for that in Genesis is the heavens and the earth. Verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And at first, when he makes everything, it is a mess. A chaotic, soupy, eerie mess. Like a pile of confused Lego just laying out on the floor. Eerie, smoke machine, kind of dark. And you can hear these dark tones as this thick soup kind of congeals around. In verse 2, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. It seems unfriendly and uninhabitable. And God is there. God is there like someone who's just bought a block of land or a farm and is looking over it thinking about what could be. In the rest of verse 2, the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. And then the show starts as God brings thriving order out of chaos. And it's here that I want us to look at three things that help us to understand what our purpose is. what our meaning is. Three things I want to look at here to kind of begin to answer that question. And the three things are that God separates and populates and prospers. Separates and populates and prospers. In these first few days, what we find out in Genesis is that God starts to take this kind of mess of stuff and he starts to sort it out. He puts, you know, the big bricks over here and the small ones over here, and he sorts the colors out, and everything kind of gets separated, ready to be sort of turned into something. Listen for the word separate in some of the verses of Genesis. Verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Verse 6, God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate the water from the water." God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water after it, and it was so. And it goes on. Here's what God's doing. He's starting to bring chaos under control. Separating things. Getting ready to take what was formless and form it. He separates and then he populates. Halfway through God's creative work in Genesis 1, the raw materials have been cleaned up, ready for life, and it's not meant to be a wasteland at all. This is meant to be a place to be populated, not a display home to be admired, but a house to be lived in, teeming with life. Genesis 1:22, God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And God populates with diverse life and beauty. Not just one type of animal that looks the same. This is a world for cat people and dog people and even bird people. Many, many things. Countless animals. Fleas to fireflies, cows to cockatoos. There is every kind of thing in its amazingness. In verse 21 of Genesis 1, God created the great creatures of the sea, every living and moving thing with which the water teems. Verse 24, the land, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, wild animals, each according to their own kind. And the thing that we can notice here is what God is doing is taking an unfriendly chaos, he separates it and orders it, and then he fills it with life, populates it. And then creation really starts to sing as it comes towards God's high point in creation. The moment when the music stops and God calls people like you and me, he calls humans to come and sing with him. The world is separated and populated, and finally it's prospered. See, it turns out everything up to this point in creation is preparation, an ordering, a building, arranging, and now it's time to play as this world is prospered in beauty and harmony when God makes people to prosper it. Humans, us, to be part of God's work of stopping things from descending back into chaos and creating order and beauty with God. He asks people to rule the earth. He tells them that will be their job. Genesis 1, verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Take what's been started, look after it, prosper it, help life to thrive, rule it well with God. With God's humans in charge of God's creation, things are as they should be. And here's what Genesis says life is all about: prospering God's ordered world with him, caring for God's world with him. Without him, chaos, mess. With him, beauty, purpose, order. See, Genesis does speak to the question of where did I come from or how did I get. It does speak to that question, but it also speaks loudly and clearly to the question, why am I here? What's my meaning? What's my purpose? I wonder if you ever asked, why am I here? Ask yourself, what's the point? What am I meant to be doing? There are lots of approaches you can take to that question, but there are two I want to think about, two approaches to that question that can be equally unhelpful. One approach is to become really obsessed with the details of how we got here. And another approach could be to ignore the question altogether. See, for this kind of person who sort of gets really interested in the how we got here, you can kind of go into all the details. You can watch all the YouTube videos, read all the books, get into all the debates, know everything about all of it. But you can get there and something is missing. Because if you do that, you can become the kind of person who just sort of analyzes life. Life just becomes an equation, a thing to figure out, a series of kind of truths to stack on top of each other. And if that's all you ever think about, well, you're going to be missing the real purpose, missing joy and having a life of hope. Instead, you'll have a life that's a bit cold and kind of distant. You can be obsessed about the details, or on the other hand, you can totally ignore the question about why you're here and how you got here, and just totally ignore it. Like some people who have organized a car trip or a caravanning trip, you know, you kind of all get there and gather together and no one can quite remember what you're supposed to be doing. So you go to someone's house and you have wine and cheese and you talk a bit, fall asleep. The next morning you wake up and someone says, "That's right, we won a 5-star accommodation thing last night, but we forgot about it." If you ignore the question, why am I here? The only way to deal with that will be to fill your life with trivial things that keep you interested and distracted. You know, romantic encounters, advancing the house, the thrill of the next holiday or overseas trip, whatever it is, to avoid the question of why am I here, you'll have to keep doing things to distract you. So you can go through life either obsessing about the how or ignoring the question, but either way, something will be missing. And this is where Christmas is good news for us, really. The Christian gospel is good news. It's not just about Genesis 1. It's not just that God made us with a purpose, but it's that he's come down as the creator in the flesh. He's come to save us from chaos, to shine a light into messiness and darkness, to show us our meaning. Plenty of you might have noticed that when we turned over to John chapter 1, the first thing that happens is exactly the same words as in Genesis chapter 1. And the words are "in the beginning." And that's deliberate, to show us that Jesus is not plan B because the other plan didn't work. Jesus comes to fulfill the work that had been started in creation. Jesus tells us what it is. He's the one called the Word. And he was actually the one who created, the carpenter who made it all. Verse 1 of John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word," Jesus. "The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made." Jesus comes to finish and do the job properly of bringing beauty and order out of chaos. He deals with the chaos of sin by taking its destructiveness on the cross, saying the only way it will stop is through him. In his resurrection, he shows his intention to kill the chaos of death and bring an endless life with him. Jesus is here to light up the world, to show us what it's about, to reveal our purpose. In verse 4, "In him was life, And that life was the light of mankind. No matter how you think you got here, the reason you are here is to prosper God's world with the Lord Jesus. Jesus is here that your chaos might be overcome and you might play a part in overcoming chaos with him. Being part of the family business, being one of the kids at work with God. John 1 verse 12, all who received him, who believed in his name, Jesus' name, he gave the right to become children of God. Until we kind of keep thinking about Jesus properly, until we realize he's the one bringing order out of chaos, life can be forever half finished, moving chaotically from kind of one thing to the next to the next. And you could live in constant chaos, you know, sort of missing the meaning of life. Yeah, as I was talking about before, for that to work, you've got to sort of have fun and interesting and distracting things to do. Let me, you know how if you're a Christian and sometimes you look at people around you, and I don't know if you've ever had the thought where you go, oh, they've got everything. They don't really seem to, I'm not sure what difference Jesus or church would make. They seem to have kind of everything there. And it is true that some people do have a really good life. And they do have things to do. But what we actually see there, what people experience is success at keeping them and themselves distracted. Continually renovating and planning and holidaying and whatever. And the worst thing about that stuff is when it works. The worst thing is when that goes well. Because it provides a life interesting enough to avoid the big questions. Distracting enough that you never have to think about why am I here? There may be plenty in that life, but there's one big thing missing. Ordering and prospering God's world with the Lord Jesus. And to miss that will be catastrophically chaotic. Christmas gives us a chance to remember that Jesus has come to bring us back to why we are here, to remind us that we can join with him in seeing our own chaos overcome and join his work in overcoming chaos around us. Look, I know Christmas is a bit of a time of mess for people, bit of a time of chaos, bit of a time when you feel like there's plenty of darkness and deep. And I think Christmas is a good time to remember that Jesus is coming in the end to defeat that. It's the end of the year. Some of you are just finishing school. Some of you are kind of early in uni or your first job. And you've just started to realize that the problems that you had growing up haven't really gone anywhere. The chaos still runs deep. Perhaps your life feels like a mess. Maybe others of you this morning are dealing with unmet expectations. The order you thought your life would have is not quite there. This is not the job you'd hoped for, the family you thought you'd have. It's not the place you wanted to live, not the relationship you'd expected, nor the marriage the books promised. Genesis 1, and more particularly the Lord Jesus, wants you to know that he's the one to take your chaos to. To go to him. Whatever you're dealing with, God's creator can shine a light and begin to bring order. Look, I want to encourage you over these next few weeks not to be content in being a formless, empty mess at any point. Make sure you take the chaos within. Take your sin to the Lord Jesus. And know that it's forgiven and you're valued and you're loved. Know that there is a perfect future coming. And when life is neither fun nor interesting nor easy, look to the one who's bringing order to it all. You know, maybe this week is the time to share your mess, not let it overwhelm you. Say to Jesus, I need help with my family, I need help with my singleness, I need help with my depression, I need help with my marriage, whatever it is. Because we're not made to be endlessly distracted from the big issues. We're made to be saved from chaos, to be prospered, as we partner with the one through whom everything was made. Have you got some chaos you want to share? Please do it. Share the mess with another Christian friend, with one of your ministry leaders, share it with an elder, share it with me. Because the good news is we don't have to miss out on our ultimate meaning, our purpose to trust God's creator, Jesus, as he overcomes chaos and we get to rest in him. I'm going to pray. Lord God, we want to acknowledge you as the one who brings beauty and order to mess. Because there are plenty of times there are mess in our life, and either we run from it or try and look after it ourselves rather than letting you shine a light on it. Please forgive us for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have come to take our sin on yourself, to begin to reorder our hearts, to let us join your work of bringing beauty to this creation. Join your work of separating, populating, prospering, doing all things to bring glory and honor to you. And the amazing and awesome thing is, as we do that, it is really good for us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.